Okay, guys, we're live at Cream Christian Church. We just had communion. I'm pretty worked up, so I will try not to holler. But I don't make any promises. I can tell you, a lot of people through the years have asked me why me and Kim get along so well. They've asked me. And a lot of y'all don't know that, you know, we had a very formal wedding up in Kansas City when we got married, right outside of Kansas City. And one of the things that they did is they brought in this nice horse and buggy. And we were riding away from our wedding on this in this horse and buggy. And Kim was just so sweet, so beautiful and everything. And so we're riding along there in those streets, and all of a sudden that horse stops. And she gets down out of the thing, walks over the horse and says, "That's one." And I'm like, wow, that's a sign of her I've never seen before. And then she gets back up in the buggy, and I'm driving along, and all of a sudden the horse just stops again. She gets down over that point, she said, "That's two." And then I get back up, look at the horse, takes off. Going down there, and he stops again. She reaches in her little clutch purse, pulls out a pistol, and shoots him in the head. That horse just drops there on the street in Kansas City. I said, "Baby, you can't do that." She said, "That's one." We have not had an argument since. That was my dad's favorite joke. He's not with me, so I have to tell that joke about once a year. So here's the deal. I love the fact, we're in Matthew 17, by the way. And I love the fact, as we're getting into this, that I know Jesus and what he can do for you. I love the fact that I know he is all powerful. He is my Savior. He does an enormous amount of things. Does everybody understand that? He created the earth. Those are all acts, A-C-T-S, acts of God. And I love the fact that we know the acts of God and we can worship him knowing that he is our answer. But here's the deal. Can you imagine Kim, not counting the pistol, but Kim describing our relationship as, you know what? Bruce comes home every night mostly. Bruce works hard, he does this, and never really knowing anything about who I am, just knowing about what I do. Can you imagine the surface level of that relationship? That's how many of us know other people. Oh, he's that, she's that, he does this, he does that. Oh, he's a plumber, okay? Which we need more, anyway. But something's about to happen in the life of Jesus where he is ready to roll. They have seen him do a bunch of stuff. I mean, we've been on this for a while, okay? And I don't have any idea how long. Okay, so a while. But we've been talking about what he's done, and we've all, of course, said, you know, he's the Son of God. But watch this. He's about to peel back another layer to their understanding of who God is. And be careful, because, and I don't mean be careful because something bad's going to happen. Be careful, because if this gets a hold of you, you can't stay the same. I'm just telling you. Amen. Fear won't live there anymore. Amen. Fear can't live. You can't, if you've been having some pet fears you've been worried about, they can't live there anymore. Be careful. You can't fret. Because if what you're going to see today, what the revelation that he gave them, if that revelation comes to you, it's like we talked about in Sunday school. That's like the ultimate aha, I get it. Okay. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them to the high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothing became as white as the light. And if that wasn't enough, seriously, then Moses, who at this point has been dead a very long time, okay, a long time, and Elijah appeared to them, which the last time anybody saw him, he went up in a fiery chariot. I don't know if they both rode the chariot over there or not. I'd like to know that, but they appeared to him and they were talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to these last words. Hear him. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw nobody but Jesus only. Now when they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now we're going to spend some time here, guys. I think we'll probably get through with this today. But this is important. The whole Bible is important. I'm not minimizing anything in the Bible, okay? But I want you to see that a lot of times, or just consider with me this morning, that a lot of times we see the person of Jesus. And I want to tell you, this is not a joke, but I'm going to tell you, okay? I love pictures of Jesus. People say, oh, you know, that's it. Listen, I love pictures of Jesus. I got pictures of Jesus in my house. And I don't think he looked like that. No, I'm serious. I'm not saying that. But for me, it's just a reminder. It's just a touchstone. A touchstone. It's just something you see, you know. Years ago, a friend of mine purchased like a life-size deal of Jesus and put it in his shop. And every time I go in there, I look at it. I look at it. It's like, and he didn't purchase it for sale. He purchased it for there. It's to look at. We know that Jesus probably didn't look just like that. It's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus may show up as a wrestler. Okay, remember that? He showed up and wrestled with a guy and he lived after that. Remember Jacob?
Yeah.
Okay, and guess what happens? You can't spend. You cannot spend intimate time with Jesus and not come away the same. He went into that argument. He went into that wrestling match. He went into that as his name meant supplanter. It meant deceiver. And he came out of it as Israel, who is a man, a prince with God. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've had to wrestle some of my life. That's just the truth. I mean, we used to, in some of our training years ago, they had the towel game. We'd get in a circle, and they'd take a hand towel and tie it in a knot, and throw it in the middle, and the coach would call out two numbers, and we'd go and fight over the towel to drag it out while the other person dragged it, and you couldn't choke one another. But other than that, it was not a lot of rules. And that's an intimate time, and you think, no, it's, you're holding on to each other, you're dragging, they're trying to pull it, you're pulling it back, you're pulling it back. And when you got off there, you might smell a little bit like them. No, I'm serious. If they wore too much Axe that day or whatever, you know, I'm serious. You may have some of their DNA, their sweat on you when you come, you know. And I want to tell you something. God has called us to see who Jesus is as who he is. And as we are intimate with him, it will change us. These men were never the same. After this interaction, if you went to them and said, I don't think Jesus is the Son of God, are you nuts? I can't tell you what I know, son, but I'm going to tell you something. He's the Son of God. Right. And it's evidently, eventually, they told the whole story at some point. So let's go back at the first, just point by point. He was transfigured before them. Now, guys, I want to tell you, Jesus was at creation. Without, go to the book of John, and you can read this for yourself. Nothing was created that he wasn't there a part of. Okay, think about that. Okay. He is literally a few months or years from now, when we get to this part of the story, at one point, he comes after the resurrection and he says these words, all power. Amen. Is that what he says? Amen. Does he say the power if you act right? The power if you don't act right? If you get you, if you voted for this guy, if you voted, no, listen, he says all power has been given to me. Amen. I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. The keys he walked out of, they're with the whole shebang. We're going to get to that in a minute. Here's what happened. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. And I want to tell you, this is only what I believe. You don't have to believe this. This is just my intellect. I believe that literally they stood on that. Those men were there, and when he walked into that dimension, he literally entered to where he looks when we see him someday. They literally got to glance into the dimension where he lives, and they're like, that's turns your boat over. We always think of it in our, and it was more, listen, his face shone like the sun. And don't try this. Don't try this at home. Don't go out of there when you come out of here and look. So, well, I'm going to look at the sun and see what Jesus is like. No, don't look at it. It ain't good for you. Okay? But listen to me, guys. Micah, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. Remember that. Under his wings. And not S-O-N. I always want put the S O N. He literally shines like, he's not the sun, that's a planet, but he shines like the sun. He is so high, lifted up above what we can comprehend. And if they get to glimpse in there, the second point I want to make about this is my buddy Moses. I studied Moses for years, and then I went back and studied him again, and then studied him again. And I remember being in my little bitty office down there in Lampy and studying and looking and like, but Moses, you didn't get to go into the promised land after all that work, after putting up with them blinded people for all them years, and all you hit a rock or whatever. I'm so sorry. Guess what? Guess where he was at? He's standing on a mountain in the promised land. Guess what? The second point is, we win in spite of yourself. We win. You're going to fail and come short of the glory of God today. No, I'm serious. You're on your best day, your rightness, your ability to stand in the presence of God is as filthy rags. And I won't even get into the description of those rags, but they're dirty, dirty, dirty rags. Unclean rags. So, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know. Of course, Moses has been with God at that point for a long time, and they're in heaven, and, you know, he ain't worried about it, I'm sure. But he's like, man, I don't care. I'm standing right here. And I want to tell you, there's so many jokes about what heaven's going to be like. There's so many jokes where, and I'm not going to do that, especially online. But I will do this. One of the jokes was people that, you know, that didn't believe in doing certain things. You know, their whole time here, they're up there smearing on makeup or, you know, cutting their hair or, you know, what all that, they're all doing that. Well, we're in heaven now, you know, finally, you know. And then they got this one part of heaven and they said, shh, be quiet. And they're like, why? I said, because there's the so-and-sos and they think they're the only ones here. We don't want to mess it up for them. Because, you know, your righteousness ain't going to get you to heaven. But guess what? We celebrated something a minute ago that made me holler. Just a little bit. And that is the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, which has paid the price for me. So here's the deal. He says, there's Moses, and then there's Elijah, which, you know, guys, you go all the way back to Micah, you go back to some prophecies around that, and here's the deal, Elijah has to come back before Jesus can be revealed. And later on in this, and actually in this chapter, or in this portion of the Bible, you're going to find out that Elijah did come back. And we're not talking about reincarnation. Don't get weird. No. It's a picture. Remember, Elijah was a prophet. And the prophet came, and his name was John the Baptist. And Jesus says that later on. But guess what happened also? Elijah, the man, stood there with Jesus. And to me, I love this story because it knocks everything. It turns your boat over, and I like the boats turning over. That makes us be better swimmers. So watch this. They appeared and they're talking. Now, I wonder what they were talking about. I can tell you this, that Jesus is on the countdown to the cross. He's on the countdown. He's already told them once in the page before this what's going to happen. And he's about to tell them again what's going to happen. He knows he's going to the cross and he's going to be abused and he's going to be beaten. He knows it's a countdown to the cross. And I'm not a genius, and if you hang around me very long, you'll know that's true. But I want to tell you something. He's also going to have the sin of humankind. Every sin, from the little things I've done to the horrible things I've done to the horrible things that the world has done, was put on him. He paid the price for that. And I can't imagine being pure, righteous, and wonderful and having that put on you. So he's on the home stretch for this. The countdown is about to happen. So you got Moses there, you got Elijah, and how many of you guys love Peter? I love Peter because he's always saying what I'm thinking. okay? I love Peter. And he says, well, then what we need to do, we need to start this. We're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like this. We're going to have these three, but we'll build booths for, you know, a tabernacle. We're going to do this. We're going to change the way we do everything. Everything like that. And essentially, he had missed the point. Right? And this is what the fourth point is. Sometimes we miss the point. We think that God came to establish this thing that turns into this big business, and we do this like this, and we do this like this, and what he came to do was to save mankind. To save mankind. To rescue us from ourselves. That's the king. You are the kingdom of God. It's not the staples. It's not the housing. It's not, listen, that's just stuff. God could go like this and then build it back twice as good. That's about how much effort. Probably less. I mean, but he's God. He can. His ways are higher. It's always about the next this, the next step. But listen, guys, what I'm saying, he's not a God of, I mean, and I love programs. I love, you know, we all try to get here by the same time. That's why we have, you know, and we got heat here today, praise God. I mean, because that we paid the bill. I mean, seriously. So, in the middle of him saying, well, we're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like this. We're going to have this chart. We're going to put stars when people come. We're going to get out of the way. The world's largest bicycle on the world. I mean, okay, I'm sorry. But while he's still speaking, he's laying out his program. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice out of the cloud says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now listen to this. Hear him. He's going to tell you what to do about this. Shut up. Okay? Quit trying to build something over your with your hand that I'm trying to build something in your heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. As they were being persecuted 20 years later, 10 years later, or how long it was, and they're being persecuted, and they're saying, well, just deny Christ. Can you imagine? How am I going to deny Christ? I can't be the same. And I'm asking that God send an experience to this world of people who cannot be the same. We're worried about what the rules are. We need to be worried about who's making the rules. As we learn him, as we follow him, he'll take us down the path that we need to go. And don't get me wrong, guys, do the right thing is cheaper. So, watch this. And when they heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is very clear about fear. First thing I'm going to tell you is if you don't fear God, you ain't never going to get it together. No, I'm serious. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But can you imagine that if I was so afraid of my earthly father that I something was bad wrong and I wouldn't tell him? I mean, my dad would be furious with me. Then I'd need to be afraid if I wouldn't tell him. My daddy wanted the very best for me in every situation. Can you imagine something being horrible going on in Kim's life and her not saying, oh, I'm not going to tell him because I don't want to worry. It would make me furious. You see what I'm saying? Because I love them. My dad loved me. I love my wife. The same way with my kids. I do exactly the same thing that my daddy did. Before we get off the phone, every time, do you need anything? Are you all right? Because I care. Do you see what I'm saying? I care. Is there something that I can do to help? What's going on? You know? And here's the deal, guys. We've got it mixed up. And Jesus came, and here's two sub-points here. What's this? He touched him. I want to tell you something. Being touched by the Master changes everything. I want to tell you that, let's not get weird if we can help it, okay? Because as far as anybody knows, we're a normal church, okay? I say that about every 3 weeks, I mean. But watch this. I was raised in a situation where, and it was actually taught that you can't be close with people because you're in a position of leadership. You have to keep them below you because you don't want them to see who you really are. Fake it till you make it or whatever. I don't know, whatever you fill that in. I was actually taught that. And listen, I totally understand about appropriate boundaries. So if you've ever had those crossed, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. But listen to what I'm saying. We need to be people who are willing to touch. And I'm not, this is, we're not going to choose up sides and have a hug today. But listen to what I'm saying, guys. You need to realize that this world is not being touched. I shook a couple guys' hands the other day, and I'll be very generic about this, that they are on the lower rung of what's going on. They're struggling, homeless, helpless, broken. And I got them out of my car. I stuck out my hand and I said, son, I want the very best for you. I want you to think about that. Because most of us would be like, I want to tell you, God is bringing up a church. And I'm not talking about a geographical church. He's bringing up a people who are going to make a difference in this generation. And there are people who are going to have to touch. And you're going to be touched. It's going to hurt. You're going to see things you don't want to see, because I want to tell you, desperate people seek him, don't they? I know I do. First thing he did is he said, came down from the mountain. He came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. How can God, who knows everything, tell us not to be afraid? Because the things that we count this important, really, in eternity, are probably this important. Our priorities, we don't understand that 200 years after we're in heaven, we're going to be saying, you remember that time the thermostat batteries went down in church and didn't work downstairs? Yeah, I don't think we'll ever remember that much. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about eternity. We're in a small smidgen of eternity. And what we do now matters, don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you that God, he says these words. He says, arise and do not be afraid. And when he lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. And then he says this, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Getting to know Jesus for who he was versus what he did, what is what happened to these men today. Jesus is the Son of God. And when you look, why did Jesus come? And you don't know this, I'm gonna hit this, I'm done. Why did he come? He came, remember why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb who's gonna be slain. I want to tell you, that's why he came. That's why he came. There's healings go, just put your hand in the Bible here and just reach back here. There's miracles that God did over and over and over through men, with men, in battle, raising people from the dead, making water come back, you know, chariots being drowned, changing the course of the sun. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. God's God, ain't he? Okay, but watch this. Jesus is the only one that could do this. He's the perfect Lamb. And he healed because God is a healer and he is God. He provides for people because he's a provider. You know, if you get around me long enough, you're probably going to talk about something I'm interested in, even if you don't want to. Okay? But, I mean, seriously. And those were fruits of who he was. But this, what you see today, is who he is. And he was, is, and will always be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you, he paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. And I'm so, so thankful this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have not left me orphanos as an orphan, but Lord, as a son. And if you have not received him as your Savior today, I want to tell you something. He has paid the price for your sins. So Father, forgive us, Lord. We're sinners. We need you, oh God. We need a Savior. Help us, Lord, to be the men and the women you called us to be. And Lord, we believe that you died for our sins, the Son of God. And then you beat death, hell, and the grave and rose and are at the right hand of the Father right now, Lord, waiting for us to be brought back into full fellowship with you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for these people and I thank you for this day, God. Be with us, keep us. Let your light shine upon us, Lord.